Okay, so now we are talking about the Italian law on building acoustics. And here we start talking about topics which move a lot of money. This lesson and the next one today are the two lessons regarding the real job of acoustician in Italy, where the money flow, where people become rich, and where many of you, I don't know how many, but some of you, will get your monthly income for the next of your life. Because here there is the real money. Half is about building acoustics and this lesson. Half is about environmental acoustics and it is the next lesson. So here you understand, we are doing only 2 hours of lesson about what is the real job of an acoustician in Italy. That of course is not enough. There are specific courses for becoming professional acousticians. These are courses which are long, 160-170 hours, which are only on these two topics. So the ratio is 160 against 2. You please understand the limit of what I am going to tell you in this hour is definitely not enough for doing this as your job in your life. You need an additional course after this one. But if you make that and you get this inscription into regional register of professional acoustician, once you have got this inscription in the register, you are safe for your whole life. You will never be without money because there will be a lot of work for you for many, many years. Okay? So, we are talking about building acoustic, and after this law, which is called DPCM, Decreto Presidente Consiglio dei Ministri, for whom of you who don't know the details of Italian law, this law was issued at the end of 97 and it started to be applied during next year in 98. After that, all the new buildings and all the remaking of old buildings in Italy must be compliant to the minimum passive performance which are described in this law. Not exactly in the law, in the annex of the law. There are two annex. Annex 1, which define the quantities to be limited to reach these passive performance indicators. So Annex 1 defines which are the quantities and how they have to be measured according to different measurement standards. Annex 2 gives a table, two tables actually, which give you the numerical value of those limits. So both the two annex are the really important parts of the law. The law itself is just generic stuff for attorneys, it's not for technicians. For us, what matters are the two annexes of the law. Annex 1 define the quantities, the performance you need to reach. And it is full of errors. Annex 1 is a nightmare. It contains wrong definition. It refers to wrong standards, and it causes a lot of problems interpretative and of application for this confusion. I will try to explain the problem of the law and how instead you should interpret the wrong text of the law, because there are errors. For example, here it defines the apparent sound reduction index of partition, and this definition refers to a wrong standard, because this standard which is referred in the law is not the correct standard for measuring air source. And it is like this, all like this. Wrong reference, wrong year, one for the other, all messed up. It's terrible. Wrong name, The symbol is one and the name used is the one of a different quantity. Here, for example, is the normalized sound insulation of a facade of a building, of the windows in practice, and it is called standardized, but it is the normalized value. Depending on the standard, the normalized value is one thing and the standardized is a different thing, and the law mixed the two concepts. It is perfect. But making it short, all this annex one can be combined in this slide, where you see that the quantities to be checked by measurement, because here we are not talking about simulation, about design, about computation, about formulas. Here we are talking about going to the building before it is sold, or even after it is sold with people living inside, and measuring experimentally the performance of the building. The law requires that the results of measurement are compliant with the value containing in this table of Annex 2. And the quantities to be measured are five. The facade sound insulation, that is the insulation of windows actually. The apparent sound reduction index of internal partition, the insulation between my bedroom and the bedroom of my neighbor. So it's not inside my building, my house. It is between my apartment and the apartment next to my one. The normalized tapping noise level, and we will see what is this tapping noise. There is the tapping machine, very nice thing. Then there is the last two are related to the equipment, like heating, ventilation equipment, or like in the bathroom, you know, when you have the WC and you make the water flow in the WC, it makes noise. Again, that is noise perceived by your neighbor, not by you. It's not the noise which is inside your bathroom. It is, if you go into your bathroom and you pull the water in the WC, your neighbor in his bedroom should not hear too loud the sound of your WC. That's the meaning. There is the maximum sound pressure level with slow time constant for discontinuous equipment like the WC, or there is the equivalent level for equipment in continuous operation like heating and ventilation and refrigeration system, a system which works continuously, not events, just continuous operation. Okay? So these are the five requisites, and this is Annex 1. Annex 2 contains these two tables. The first table defines the categories of building. Category A is civil residential buildings. Category B are office. Category C are hotels or pensions. Category D are hospitals or clinics. Category E are school or university. Category F is recreative activity or church, or similar, like cinemas, like theaters, and so on. Category G are shops, commercial or show, exposures, and similar things. Commercial center, supermarket, and so on. So those are the categories. For every group of category, as you see, the categories are seven, but they are grouped in only four groups. For each of these groups of category, you have different limit value for your five measured parameters. Okay? The first two are minimum value, because the first one is the apparent sound reduction index of internal partition, and the second parameter is sound insulation of windows. Those two are minimum value. So we can write here a symbol of greater equal and the same here. Those are values which must be exceeded. The other three, instead, are level, noise level. So you must stay below this value, below or equal. Okay? Those are maximum values. The first two are minimum values, the other are maximum values. Of course, this is very important, because here you must exceed this value, and here instead you must not exceed these values. There is another additional parameter which is mandated by the law, which is limited by the law, which is the reverberation time for classrooms. But this is not really the topic of this law, because there were previous regulations which did already provide those limits for schools. So there is nothing new actually in this law, because the reverberation time in classroom is something which dates back to 1967. So it is a very old law, the one about schools. Being so old, it had been substantially neglected, and in Italy, substantially all the classrooms do not comply to the requirements of this very old law. This is a problem, of course, because if in a classroom reverberation time is too large, background noise is too large, and perhaps there are also lighting problems and so on, because this law did not only regulate acoustics of classrooms, but also lighting, ventilation, safety doors, and many other things of classroom. As this law is generally not enforced, and classrooms are built without respect of this law, in practice Italian classrooms are bad classrooms, and the transmission of information is worsened. So it's not the topic of today. We will have a specific lesson in the second part of the course, but you must understand that if in a classroom the acoustical conditions are not good enough, the student will learn very poorly, and the average success, educational success of Italian population is significantly worse than, for example, what happens in France, where since the 70s they understood this problem and they did a lot of effort improving the acoustic of their classroom. And this resulted in a much higher success in the educational part of students in France, because they have better learning conditions in better classrooms. And on a statistical basis, the difference is more than 30%. So really, it is a big trouble in Italy, which was recognized only very recently, since 2 or 3 years, not more. And now the Italian ministry is starting to deal with this problem, but it will take many, many years before all the classrooms of all the schools and universities in Italy are made compliant with the law. And this law is still very old. It don't refers to STI, speed transmission index. It refers only to reverberation time, so it is not optimal. In other countries, classrooms are certified by a measurement of STI, which is the correct quantity, and in Italy it's not. So this is a problem. But let's discuss for now classroom and schools, and talk about normal building, and go into an explanation of these five parameters, these five measurements. Facade sound insulation. This measurement is performed using a loudspeaker, here it is a dodecahedron loudspeaker, and a microphone which must stay 2 meters from the facade. So you measure the sound level on this microphone outside the building, and there is a second microphone inside the room. So what you measure is a sound insulation between an external microphone and an internal one. The internal microphone measure L2, the external microphone measure L1, the difference between the two is the sound insulation, which must be standardized, adding these terms which correct the measurement result for the reverberation time of the room inside which you placed microphone 2. The second point is that whilst L1 is a single point of measurement, L2 is the average among a number of measurements made inside the room. So you should make N measurements and make the average, forgetting L2. Last point is that reverberation time inside the room is normalized to a reference reverberation time, which is equal to 0.5 seconds. So if you add more absorption to your room, you will really lower the value of L2 and you will improve the sound insulation. But as you correct for the reverberation time of the room, at the end you don't get any advantage on this normalized or standardized value, because this standardized value take away the benefit you have got adding absorption. So in practice you get the same value of this facade sound insulation value if you measure with the room empty before the people is living inside the house. When the room is empty, usually the reverberation time is very large, and you measure a very large value of L2, but this normalization factor brings you back to the same result as if the room was fitted with a lot of chairs, of sofas, of carpets on the floor, on curtains against the windows, everything. If you add absorption, L2 goes down, but this value doesn't change. So in practice, Italian law doesn't require really to get a good performance, but requires to use a good window. It is only measuring the intrinsic performance of your windows. So you need to buy very expensive windows for complying to those limits, which are very hard to meet, because for residential building it required to get a sound insulation of 40 decibels, which is already very large and expensive. But for other type of buildings, think to schools, school is E, 48, having windows with a sound insulation of 48 decibels is terribly expensive. Those are very thick glass, 2 layers at least, so vetro camera, you know, with air in between, and very expensive glass, and very expensive structure and frame and so on, with double or triple ceiling and gasket for getting a perfect airtight window. It's terribly expensive, so the value required for facade insulation are very large, and the law is very difficult to comply with. Okay? Here I note a number of errors in the DPCM. The standards being referred are wrong, and so on. There is those things that the terms is called normalized, while the correct term should be standardized. Finally, for rating with a single number, again, the wrong standard is cited in the law. But this is not really a problem. Here you see that also for the facade sound insulation, you need to make this single number rating, as we explained in the previous hour, with the reference curve being moved down until you read at 500 Hz the weighted sound insulation, which is the single number value which you should compare with the values on the table in Annex B of the decree. And in this example, just at the minimum, you reach the minimum value required for residential buildings, which is 40 decibels. So this is a result which is compliant with the law, but it's not easy to reach this value. Let me go to the second parameter, which is the sound insulation of internal partition. That means the wall which separates your apartment with another apartment. This is not for the internal wall of your apartment. Those are not limited by law. It is only for the wall of two different properties, okay? And the minimum value here is 50 decibels. You see the measurement with the omnidirectional source, one sound level meter in the first room, and of course you cannot see it, but in the other room there is another identical sound level meter, so you measure simultaneously L1 and L2. Again, there are wrong reference to wrong standard, but that's normal. You measure the sound insulation, that is the difference between the two levels, and you apply the theoretical correction, which give you R1, R, but being measured inside, this is not R, it is R1, the apparent sound reduction index. Again, you need to make the single value rating, forgetting the value to be compared with the table. The absorption area of the receiving room is obtained with the Sabin formula from a measurement of the reverberation time of the receiving room made according to ISO 3382. So the impulse response method, which you have seen with firecracker, balloons, pistol shot, or with a loudspeaker and the sine wave signal. Any way of measuring reverberation time is accepted, providing that is compliant with the ISO 3382 standard, and at the end you enter here the reverberation time, you know the volume of the receiving room, you get the absorption area of the receiving room, you place A here, and you get your value of R1. You make your single number rating with the ISO standard reference curve. At 500 Hz, you see the value which must be larger than 50 decibels. In this case, it is 53, and it's perfect, with 3 decibels of safety, so this is a good wall. But practically, it's possible to get this good wall, typically using a double wall, as explained before. If you make two separate walls with a cavity, and perhaps inside the cavity you insert mineral wool or another sound absorbing material, then you get really a double wall, which is a very good sound insulation. Third parameter, tapping noise, is the noise made by steps above you. It's very disturbing when you hear the lady upstairs with socks, no, with wooden sandals, like Holland sandals, you know, clock, 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 clock. It's really disturbing. So, for checking if the floor structure is enough insulating to reduce this tapping noise, we use the tapping machine. This is a normalized tapping machine containing 5 steel hammers weighing 0.5 kg each, which falls in a pseudo-random sequence over the floor. It makes a lot of noise, and it is not only noise, it is also vibration, because it excites mechanically the floor upstairs. This noise propagates downstairs, and you measure with a sound level meter in the receiving room here. So for this kind of measurement, you need only one sound level meter, not two. You measure only one level, the tapping noise level in the receiving room, because the machine is normalized. You buy it, it is a certified machine, all make the same identical vibration, because there is a specific standard how to build these standardized tapping machines. So you place the machine there and you measure at the floor under. The problem again is that the law cite the wrong standard, because the standard being cited in the DPCM is the one referring to laboratory measurement, while of course you should use the next standard in the ISO 140 series, which refers to in situ measurement. So again, the wrong standard reference. But as I say, this happens continuously, so it's not a problem. In this case, it's not a standardized level, it is a normalized level. A normalized level is a correction factor which, instead being 10 times the logarithm between the ratio of the reverberation time over the reference reverberation time, now the normalization is made on the absorption area, which more or less has the same meaning. So in practice, what happens is that if you add absorption to the receiving room, the measured tapping level goes down, but the normalized value don't goes down, because you normalize taking into account the incremented absorption, the augmented absorption of the receiving room. So in practice, there is no benefit adding absorbing material in the receiving room. Again, the measured quantity only depends on the structure of the floor. If the floor is good, then there will be no transmission and you will comply with the law. If the structure of the floor is bad, there will be a lot of transmission and you will not meet the standard. Again, the values to be reached are quite strict, because for normal building the limit is 63 decibels for normal building, which is already quite low. But for other type of building, it's required to reach a very difficult value, 58 or even 55 for example, charges, is almost impossible to reach. Reaching 63 in residential building is possible, but you need to build a very special structure for the floor. Here there is, no, this is again the other. Okay, this is an example of a floor which managed to measure below 63, so this is compliant for residential building, but it is not compliant for the other type of building which are in the law. How is built such a structure? It's called a floating slab. So in practice, the concrete slab and the material covering it, which can be wood, it can be ceramic, it can be linoleum, it can be carpet, I don't know, all those things are over a thick layer of soft material, which surround it completely also on the side, and this thick layer of material is made of soft rubber or polyurethane foam or compressed polyester fiber or similar soft thing. So your steps don't act directly on the structure of the building, because here there are walls and here there is the slab carrying the weight, so this is the real structure of the building, but your floor is not in direct contact with the structure, because it is a floating slab completely surrounded by this layer of soft material which leave the floor free to vibrate under the action of the machine. But this vibration will not transmit to the structural part of the building because there is a very soft layer in between. If the houses are built with this kind of floating slab, then you meet their the maximum noise for tapping machine. If there are transmission points because for some geometrical anomalies you interrupt this soft layer, particularly here on the side, because usually people don't like to see this soft layer coming out between the floor and the wall. In a proper building, you see the soft layer coming out. And people, what they do? They cut it away and they use concrete or some hard plaster for closing the gap, creating a bridge here, which transmit vibrations. So you should leave the soft layer coming out. If you cut it away and you seal the gap with a rigid material, then your floor will be structurally connected with the walls and transmit the vibration downstairs. But in Italy people don't like to see this soft layer between the floor and the wall. They cut it away, they insert rigid connection, and you go and measure, and instead of measuring 60, you measure 68 or 70, which is out of the limits with a lot of problems. Last two parameters are the noise of equipment, like this stands for heating, ventilation, air conditioning, so that are continuous operating equipment, or plumbing noise. This is typically the noise of the WC. You bring down the water in the WC and it makes noise. For those, we know there are those limits, and those limits are usually easier to meet than the other. If you use good equipment, both for HVAC or for plumbing, good type of pipes like Geberit, just for not making advertisement, if you use good equipment, then it is easy to meet this value. They are not impossible to meet. Remember that the measurements are made inside, not the room where the equipment is installed, but in the adjacent room, which must be of a different property. So your bathroom must not be heard, but your neighbor, but you can hear it quite loud, and it's not a problem. Okay? Now we see some examples. Here we are dealing with windows. The most difficult things to meet are windows and the floor with the tapping machine. Usually problems are on those two parameters. For windows, what is very important is to have the gasket, the rubber seal, not to be interrupted where there is the mechanical part of the window. In this case, for aesthetical reason, the window is mounted with so-called hidden support. But when the support of the window is hidden, here the gasket is not continuous. There is not sealed part of the boundary. So the sound passes through, and the sound insulation in this case become, we repeated the measurement on two different windows of the same building. One was 37, one 36. The limit is 40, so it is completely out of the specification. They needed to change completely the windows with a lot of money being spent, because the windows designed this way are not compliant with Italian law. They had to throw them away. It was a new building, They did spend approximately 1 million euros changing all the windows of the whole building. They were not compliant. No way. The room, the building is not legal in Italy if you don't meet this standard. So they did throw away all the buildings, buy new one with external support structure, and with external support the gasket is continuous. Please note that the type of glass is exactly the same. The only difference was this one. And now you measure 42, which is perfectly compliant with the law. Okay? Another example. Here we are dealing not with the window, but how well it is mounted. You have the frame of the window, and the frame must be sealed between the frame and the walls, the bricks. If there is no proper sealing with self-expanding polyurethane foam, usually you inject this self-expanding foam in the gap, and this expands and seals perfectly between the frame and the wall. If this is not done, you measure 37, because there is a lot of sound energy flowing around the window. You dismount the window, remount it and make the proper sealing, and magically the same window now measures 41, which is compliant for residential building, while this is not compliant, you see. So the importance of good sealing is demonstrated. Finally, this is the last slide, there is a psychoacoustic effect. If you start your building with the wrong technical choice and you allow people to enter the building and to complain because they hear each other through the walls or they hear too much loud the noise from the road and so on, they start complaining. At this point, even if you come back and fix the problem, in this case there was this wall separating the kitchen of this property with the bedroom of this other property, so they did destroy the wall and rebuild it completely. By an error, it was made by a single wall, they made it double. Okay, so the wall was actually rebuilt. After rebuilding, the performance improved from 45 up to 53. So now it's perfectly compliant to the law. But the people sleeping here continue complaining. Why? Because once you triggered the brain of people about noise, suddenly they are not happy and they will never be happy. There is some psychological theory explaining this fact. A disturbing action is not really disturbing until you detect it. Once you have detected, even if the action is lowered significantly, it remains disturbing. And this is a big trouble. So it's wrong to try to make a cheap building thinking, if something goes wrong, I will fix it later. Technically, you can fix it later, but psychoacoustically, you cannot. And once your client, your buyer, if you are the building company, you build the house, you sell the house, the guy who buys the house is not happy and will prosecute you. He will go in a court against the seller of the house because the house is not compliant with the law. Even if you fix it, you will not make him happy. So those errors must be avoided from the design. If you start with a good design, with good material and proper thickness and so on, you sell the house, you measure values which are compliant with the law, people is happy and will have no problem. If you start selling houses below the law limit, you will get a lot of troubles, a lot of action in the court. You will lose this action because the technicians come paid from the card, they make the test, the results are not met, and you lose the civil action in the court, so you have to pay a lot of money as a repair, and you have to rebuild the walls, and even after rebuilding the wall, the people will not be happy. So in the long term, no one is going to buy any more houses built by you, and your company fails. A lot of companies in Italy was broken and did fail due to the Italian law about acoustic. This nowadays is recognized by building companies. Every building company hires one or more acoustician which take care of the whole design and building process, for being safe that when the building is finished and is sold, the low limits will be respected. If the low limits are not respected, the company knows that they will have problems. And these problems are going to cost a lot of money. Typically in the court, the repairment which you are forced to pay to the buyer of the house is between 10 and 20% of the value of the house. As nowadays building companies work with an overhead, a profit, a net profit of less than 10%, if you make this wrong result, you have to give back to the buyer 20% of the money he paid, so instead of having a net profit of 10%, you end up with a net loss of 10%, which is not nice for a building company. Okay? And this is the reason for which good acousticians make a lot of money in this field of building acoustic, because the value of the good acoustical design is more or less 20% of the whole value of the building, while other parts of the building are only a few percent of the total value. Acoustic is a very, very evaluated portion of the total value of the building. Okay, and here I have finished second lecture. Any questions?